Diet Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 17, 2018. The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. Now, you can always find the updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this in our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Copenhagen, Denmark, Tunis, Tunisia, Brisbane, Australia, Amsterdam, the Netherlands, Liverpool, United Kingdom, and, of course, cities in the good old United States, such as Jacksonville, Florida, Santa Ana, California, Philadelphia, PA, Plano, Texas, Kansas City, Missouri, and New York, New York. These are just to name a few. And, of course, Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners, at least when the programs go to podcast later on tonight. Follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan at Brant77. Now prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Father, I just ask that radio goes according to your will and not our will, Father, and lift the veil from their eyes and bless this program tonight. In your son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, folks, as you remember, last week we had on Bill Sollers, who was kind enough to come on and share with you folks about pre-tribulation rapture. And I said that I would bring on tonight's guest. This week we have on with us an old friend of mine. I'm not calling him old, but we've been friends for a long time. And he, in fact, he is the one that inspired me to do talk radio. His name is Stan Johnson. Stan is the founder of the Prophecy Club, along with his wife, Leslie. With the help of God, he has studied Bible prophecy for 34 years. He's taught Bible prophecy for 30 years. He's had a radio program on Bible prophecy for 24 years. That's since 1993. He's organized thousands of meetings on Bible prophecies, hosted 160 different speakers, making 336 DVDs, and he has 36 VHS DVD presentations that he did himself, with three DVDs just specifically on the rapture. He participated in a three-hour debate on the rapture, and he's also, memorized the book of Revelation, and that's pretty recent. But so God showed him over 25 revelations in the book of Revelation when he was doing that. Anyway, he's going to reveal some of those today, I think, but we brought him on let me say this last thing about it before I bring him on. At one time when Stan first started out, he was pre-trib rapture, but to show you how he's open to study, he studied his way out of that, and he no longer accepts pre-trib rapture. So glad to have you on. Welcome, Stan.
Well, you are welcome, and it is my privilege to be here. God bless your brother.
Well, I'm so glad to have you on. And, you know, when I said I was going to have to myself, when I was going to have Bill Sollers on to present the pre-trib rapture point of view, my first thought came in my head is I wanted you to come on and give a counterpoint of view. Back to you.
Well, what I'd like to do is, first of all, start with something you and I talked about the other night, because I'm going to tie some things together with that. Rather than just give a few verses and kind of get into a sword match here, where he brings up his sword, he shows verse, and I show verse. Instead, I want to try to bring some understanding so that people can be encouraged as far as how it really works. So I'd like to start with those same five questions. Now, you and I already covered these, so
yeah.
You probably know the answers, but let's cover it because it's really important to understand. And those five questions were, when is Jesus anointed? When is he anointed? In other words, what is his next anointing? Maybe that's the way I should word it. What is Jesus' next anointing? Do you remember what we talked about?
Sure I do. He was anointed. He's going to be anointed at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Is that correct?
That's right. Okay. And I put this on our radio program. I put it out to, I don't know, thousands in an email and to our congregation. And so far, no one has got all five questions. We've got three people that have got the first two questions. So the question is, what is Jesus' next anointing? What is Jesus' next anointing? Now, he just told you when is he anointed. So you folks out there listening, think about that. When is Jesus, what is his next anointing? The answer is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When is he anointed? Well, right now, he is called Prince of the Kings of the Earth in Revelation chapter 1. Now, a prince can be like a baby born that is in line to be a king. Prince means that's exactly it, that one of these days they're going to be crowned king. Well, right now, Revelation says Jesus is Prince of the Kings of the Earth. But at the marriage supper of the Lamb, he will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Third question. We anoint people with oil. What is he anointed with? We anoint people with oil. What is Jesus going to be anointed with? No one gets that question. The answer is his own blood. You recall when Mary went down to see Jesus after he had arisen, and she thought she was talking to a gardener. Please, sir, where have you moved his body? And Jesus simply answered, Mary. And she recognized him. And then she said, Rabboni. And he said, No, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. Then 3 days later, Thomas comes and he tells Thomas, go ahead, touch me. Feel the scars. Feel the sword where it went in my side. So you have to conclude that he went and he actually ascended twice. He ascended before he touched Thomas and then he ascended 40 days later. Now, why do you ascend? Well, what came to me in the revelation in a split second was he went up to drip his blood upon the next thing. Now that brings us to the next question. What three items does Jesus receive at this anointing? What three items does Jesus receive at this anointing? The answer is, he receives many crowns. He receives a vesture dipped in blood, and that's his own blood, and a white horse. And it is the Father that presents him to the bride. Fourth question, who's in attendance? Well, yes, we know the Father and the angels. That's not what I'm talking about. Who's in attendance? The answer is the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and we will not have time to get into that tonight, perhaps another night after the book comes out. Now, fifth question, what does he do once he is anointed? What does he do once he's anointed? And the answer is he returns with the barley and the wheat harvest, with the angels, and then he returns for the great harvest. That's him when he returns to destroy the tares. And that's at that point, that's on the 10th day of the Feast of Trumpets. There's 9 days in the 10 days of the Feast of Trumpets. There's 9 days that are for the gathering of the tares. And then the 10th day is the great harvest. That's when Jesus returns. As Matthew 13:30 says, gather ye first the tares, bind them into bundles, and cast them into the fire. The fire is when Jesus returns using the morning star. And then he destroys the tares, and after the burning, then he gathers his wheat into the barn. Now, so that's kind of a backdrop. Now let's go right to the verses, and what I'm going to do is show you three Old Testament verses and the three best New Testament verses that absolutely, positively tell you when the rapture is. And first of all, I'm going to tell you right up front, the rapture is not going to save anyone. And please, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. As a matter of fact, let me say a word about Bill Salus. I'm not meant to Bill Salus. I've not hugged his neck. I've not talked with him. But he is a fellow brother in the Lord. He names the name of Jesus. Therefore, I'm not going to criticize him. I believe that his name is in the book of life. And one day we will be spending eternity together. And as another brother that has his name in the book of life, I have a rule. I don't criticize other brothers whose name is in the book of life. Now, the devil, I beat upon regularly. So I'm not going to criticize Bill. I believe that Bill's heart is to try to bring truth to the very best of his ability. I believe his heart is to build the kingdom of God and win as many souls as he possibly can. But I'll explain it this way. In 1991, Leslie and I went on a two-week tour with Ron White. He's a biblical archaeologist. When we were on that tour, he told us a story. He said that your university, your official archaeologists, go out and they find things this way. He said, in the classroom, they decide what they're going to go find. And they write up a paper and says, this is what we're going to go find. And then they go out and they find it. Now, never mind they have to sand some skull to make it look like it's some ancient Neanderthal man. They might have to cook up something, but they go out and find it. Whereas a biblical archaeologist, according to what Ron White said, is one that goes out and digs and he looks to see what is there. And if he finds something, he reports it. And if he doesn't find anything, then he keeps his mouth shut. Now, I believe that this is the way it is with a lot of people that are trying to prove the pre-trib and the mid-trib and perhaps even the pre-wrath rapture. In other words, they write up a paper and they decide that they're going to go into the Bible and they're going to find a pre-trib, a mid-trib, or a pre-wrath rapture. Well, in my case, when I first got into Bible prophecy, I went to the library and I bought several books on Bible prophecy, one of them being The Late Great Planet Earth. And if you go to your Christian bookstore and you buy books on Bible prophecy, the only books that I have found there, now I could be wrong, but pretty much the only ones you'll find are pre-trib rapture teaching books. Why? Because they're not accepted. If it's not of the pre-trib rapture, in other words, they've written up a paper and they have decided it's going to be a pre-trib rapture. And they write up that paper and they make that decision before they go looking into the Bible. And in my case, I didn't think there was anything else. And I started teaching Bible prophecy and some of my students began coming in and saying, hey, you know, there are some other points of view other than a pre-trib. What? Well, I wouldn't
relate to that.
And it was not until Gene Bacon sat down and showed me the scriptures. And that's that. I'm not trying to beat up anyone here. I'm not trying to bust any bubbles. I'm not trying to make anyone toss and turn and not sleep at night. I am simply trying to bring you, in other words, I went out and dug into the Bible, and I'm simply presenting to you what I found. Now, it's up to you to do what you want to do with it. Now, again, I made three DVDs on the rapture. I participated in a three-hour debate on the rapture. So I burned the rock to tell you these are the best three scriptures of the Old Testament. Then we're going to go to the best three scriptures of the New Testament. So here we go.
Right.
If you got your Bible, please turn to your King James Bible to Job 14:12. Job 14:12. Please tell me you have your Bible handy. Please tell me you don't have to go digging and dusting it off and things like that. Please tell me that you've touched your Bible sometime in the last week. I assume you've got your Job 14:12 scripture pulled up now, so let's read it. Now, who's Job? Why should we believe Job? Well, the Bible says that the three greatest men of the Old Testament were Job, Noah, and Daniel. Job, Noah, and Daniel. So God calls Job one of the three best of the Old Testament. So we think we better listen to him. Now, Job says, so man lieth down, means he dies, and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not wake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait. till my change comes. All right, now let's talk about that. So man lies down and rises on. Okay, so what it's saying is, so when I die, Lord, do not raise me up until the heavens be no more. Well, when are the heavens no more? Well, actually, that happens when the heaven rolls back like a scroll. That happens when an object third size of the sun hits the sun, and the sun and the moon and the stars go dark, and the day shone not for the third part of the night likewise. That is the 10th day of the Day of Trumpets. That is the day before the door is closed. That is the day before the judgment is set, the books are open, and the beast is slain. That is the very last day. That is the day there is a voice coming from the throne. Again, I memorized Revelation, so I'm not having to look them up. I'm just quoting for you, okay? The voice coming from the throne that says, it is done. Okay, so it's what it's saying is, when I die, I'm not going to rise until the heavens are no more. In other words, when the sun is out, the moon will not give a light, and the stars of heaven fall as a fig tree casting forth their untimely figs. That's what it's saying. Now let's go on. Shall they not wake, nor be raised out of their sleep? There is no question. There is no question. I'm not trying to dig up something. I'm not trying to wordsmith things together. I'm not trying to grab a word or sentence here and twist it and turn it and get out a hammer and beat on it and try to make it fit into something that it doesn't really fit into. That verse clearly says, so man lies down, or he goes to sleep, he dies, and he will not come out of that grave until the heavens are no more. Next verse. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Okay, so the big debate then becomes, okay, what is his wrath? Well, again, that's another real big misunderstanding, but having memorized the book of Revelation, and please, I'm not trying to call attention to myself. What my idea to memorize the book of Revelation, it took me a year to do it. It's not an easy thing to do, but I would recommend it. I would say it's one of the greatest things that I have done to have the Lord more present in my life. But having memorized it, I can tell you that the wrath is not a 7-day or 7-year period. It is not, it's not the last 120 days. It's not the last 100 hours. The wrath of God takes place on the day of the Lord. That's the 10th day of the Feast of Trumpets. That's on the day of the grape harvest, as I mentioned earlier. The wrath is the morning star. Now, let me explain the morning star. In Revelation, the Church of Thyatira, he says, and he that keepeth my works to the end, he that overcometh and keeps my works to the end, the same will I give power over the nations, and he shall break it. Power of the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of the potter they shall be broken to shivers, even as they received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. What's the morning star? Well, you go to chapter 11, you have the two witnesses there, and it says, these are my two witnesses that are clothed in sackcloth, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Clothed in sackcloth. And it says, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. That's the morning star. Fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Then you jump to Revelation 19. This is the Battle of Armageddon. Once again, the 10th day of the trumpets. This is the great harvest. This is the time when Jesus returns to destroy the tares. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the beast and his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, which wrought miracles before them, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that had worshipped his image. And these both were cast alive in the lake of burneth with fire and brimstone. Here it is, here it is, here it is. And the remnant were slain by the sword of him that sitteth on the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. That's the morning star. That's the wrath of God. The morning star is the wrath. It takes place on the last day. Now, I can dig into a bunch of scriptures. We can take the next hour digging into them. I've got them here, but I'm going to move on. Thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait. Let me read that again. a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my life, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change become. What's the change? What's the change that we all want? When Jesus returns, we're going to be like him.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. In other words, we're going to get rid of this mud body, this one that stinks and grows old and hurts, breaks. We're going to get a new body, brothers and sisters. We're going to get a glorified body, one that does not hurt, does not grow old, and we get to live in eternity in it. That's what he's talking about. Now, he's saying, if a man die, shall he live again? Sure he will. All of my days of my appointed time will I wait, means I'm not coming out of the grave, till my change comes. Now, let's put those three verses together and understand what they really say. Here comes the verse, then I'll put it in my words. So man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. And here's the way we would say it. So a man is going to lay down and not rise until the heavens have been destroyed because Jesus returns. When he rises to shake the earth, when the earth is turned upside down, and they shall not wake out of their graves. They will not be raised out of their sleep. That thou wouldest keep me and hide me in the grave and keep me secret, Lord, until your wrath, your morning star, until you've destroyed the tares, and that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. So if a man die, shall he live again? Yes, he will. But all the days of my appointed time will you please wait until my change come.
Okay, Stan, let me break in right there. That was almost perfect timing. We're going to go to a break in about a minute or less. So tell them more that prophecyclub.com. Is that it?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've told you this, but yes, you can go to prophecyclub.com. But we just came up with a new website called watchprophecyclub.com. We have 160 of our DVD recordings up there, and you can go to watchprophecyclub.com and go watch any of them anytime you want to, as they are in the process and almost getting pulled off of YouTube and other places now. Soon it will be the only place you can watch them. And you can get on watchprophecyclub.com for $20 a month or a year for $200. Go check it out, watchprophecyclub.com.
Well, that's really great. And, folks, I will include that link into the Prophecy Club site wherever you listen to this in podcast later tonight. And I will also send a link over to the pastor's plate at prophecyhour.com where you can just click on it. And, hey, we'll be back with more Stan in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we got a really good program going on with Stan Johnson, and we'll get right back to that program. Just let me point out the Mission Church real quickly. I know you heard a commercial, but you need to hear this. You know, folks, almost we deal with not only the homeless, but the homeless and poor, and a lot of people make that mistake. Do you realize that almost half of the United States family can't afford basic things like rent and food? Or, as it says, you know, nearly 51 million households don't earn enough money to afford a monthly budget that includes housing, food, childcare, healthcare, transportation, and a cell phone. And that was released by the United Way. That's 43% of the households in the United States. So when I say we help the homeless and poor, our doors open to anybody that walk in. They come in looking for all kinds of things. And so we just help them out. We don't question them. We have it. We give it to it. If not, we pray it in. They also come looking for the truth and gospel. They come for miracle prayers. So pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. Now, folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations keep us on the air. So you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. And if you donate online, I get it instantly, but you can mail a check or money order. And now we're back talking with Stan Johnson. Are you still with me, Stan?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And real quickly, one more time, tell them where they can watch prophecyclub.com. Is that it? Tell them about
that. Yes, it's watchprophecyclub.com. Watchprophecyclub.com. And you go up there and you put your credit card down, but the first 3 days are free. So you can watch them for 3 days for free. So there is no reason not to go up there and have a good time for 3 days watching our DVDs. Good grief. I don't think any other ministry on the planet has as many DVDs on Bible prophecy as the Prophecy Club. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I totally agree with it. You know, when I, not long after I came out of the world, I discovered the Prophecy Club and your ministry. I got awake real quick. You know what I'm saying? I got educated and awake really quick by coming to the Prophecy Club meetings and helping out and everything. And so, folks, they're really great. You got some fantastic DVDs over there, and you don't even have to buy a DVD. Just click it on and watch. But I don't think, Stan, I don't think in 3 days they can watch all, what is it, 336 videos?
Well, we have 160 loaded right now, but, yes, eventually we're going to have even over that. So go up there. Hey, $20 a month, and then you go watch all of them you want. So I'd go do it. It's a good deal.
Amen. And share them with others, folks. And each one of them is about, they used to be, 3 hours long, right?
A typical length is 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Stan, I'm really enjoyed listening to what you're telling the folks about. And so I'm just going to turn it back over to you so I don't waste your time.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you to participate in this segment. I think you're going to know the answer to these questions, but I'm going to ask you the answer to about 4 questions here.
That is,
in these 4 scriptures, tell me who the thief is in these scriptures. The day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. Who is the thief there?
The day of the Lord shall come.
That's right. Okay. Now, in this scripture, who's the thief? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night.
Okay, what?
In other words, who comes as a thief in the night?
Right, Yeshua does.
Yeah, right. You got 2 out of 2, correct? One more. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief.
Well, of course, we're still talking about Yeshua.
That's right, okay. And then the final question is Revelation 16:15, who is this? Behold, I come as a thief.
That's still Yeshua.
Okay, geez, all right, now, so you like that millionaire show? Are you sure that you don't want to change your answer?
With you, folks, this is Stan Johnson. With him, I'm going to stand on what I'm saying, bro.
Okay.
We're talking about Stan Johnson here.
It's not a trick. It's not a trick.
I didn't say it was.
Okay, but that's your final answer? You're correct, by the way. But that's your final answer?
Yeah, that's my final answer.
You don't want to throw a lifeline and call somebody?
No, I don't need to call it. If I'm going to call anybody, I'd say, help me.
Okay, well, here comes the next 3 verses, and I'm actually going to read 5 of them, but the last 3 verses, I have to read a couple to kind of give you the setup so you know the situation. But these are the 3 best verses in the New Testament to explain to you when Jesus returns. Okay, here we go. We're going to start Revelation 16:12. And the 6th angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Well, prepared for what? This is where Jesus is gathering the tares from around the globe. Again, Matthew 13:30, gather you first the tares, bind them into bundles, and cast them into the fire. Here's the way we would say it. Gather you first the sinners, get them all together in one big group, and then I will hit them with the morning star. That's what Jesus is basically saying. In other words, this is gathering the world armies for Armageddon. That's what it's saying. Let's go to the next verse. And I saw three, and by the way, Revelation 16:12, hope you got your Bible out, folks. Revelation 16:12, well, now we're verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. These are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Okay, Pastor Dan, may I ask you another question, please?
I would guess so, yeah.
Okay, what is the battle that they're talking about here?
We're talking about Armageddon.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, if you're sure that's Armageddon, we'll go to the next verse because that was the first of the best three verses, but this next one is the best one. Now, I want you to see I'm not skipping a verse. We just had an example where the Euphrates waters dried up so that the way the kings of the east could come over and participate in Armageddon where they're to be killed. And then three unclean spirits like frogs go out into the whole world to gather them to this battle, the battle of the great day of God Almighty, the battle of Armageddon. Then we see this verse, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Now, Pastor Dan, who did you say was the thief?
Yes, Yeshua.
Okay, so here we have two examples that two groups of people are gathering to the Battle of Armageddon from around the world, and this is the day before Armageddon, literally the day before Armageddon, and yet Jesus is still warning them, I come as a thief. Jesus has not returned, and this is the day before Armageddon. Now let's look at the next verse. If you think I'm kidding, you think I've got it wrong, I got something out of place here. Again, I'm not trying to wordsmith it. I'm not trying to grab a word or a sentence here and take a big hammer and beat it to death and pound it in, trying to make it fit someplace. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, say it, Pastor Dan.
Megiddo or?
No, say, what's the word there?
Well, it's Megiddo.
Armageddon.
Yeah, it's the Battle of Armageddon, but it's, yeah, that's the place.
Okay, I'm reading from King James. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Now, let's look and see exactly what's going on here. In other words, I want you to know that I'm not trying to cut and paste. I'm not trying to wordsmith. I'm not trying to twist something. Revelation 16:12, the angel says, dry up the river Euphrates so that the kings of the east might come over towards Jerusalem and be killed. Loose the unclean spirits that come out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet so that they can gather the whole world to come over to attack Jerusalem so they can be killed during the great battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, they're gathering for Armageddon, and Jesus says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. In other words, don't lose your garments. Don't deny Jesus. Don't think I've already come. Lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Then he said he gathered them into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. This is the day before Jesus returned for Armageddon. And he's still warning people, behold, I come as a thief. He's still saying, I'm still coming. Keep your garments. Don't let your guard down. Don't deny me. Don't lose your garments. Don't lose your salvation. I'm coming tomorrow. This is the day before Armageddon. I didn't cut. I didn't paste. I didn't move things around. It's in your Bible just like it's in mine. So here's what it says.
Amen.
You put all that together, and the rapture takes place after the burning, just like Matthew 13:30 says. Get ye first tares, bind them into bundles, cast them into the fire, then gather my wheat into the barn.
You couldn't get any plainer than that.
I agree. Now, I've made my point there, but if you'd like to, I can talk about the 144,000, which would be very interesting, or I can talk about some specific verses and explain them, give an explanation for verses that the pre-tribbers misunderstand, bless their heart, and they think it's pointing pre-trib, but they misunderstand. So do you want me to cover the verses, or you want to talk about the 144,000?
Well, I really love both, but if you could address Thessalonians, I think that would be very prosperous.
That is definitely one of them here. Hang on just a second. I pushed the wrong button on my. Okay. Here, let me get to the. I've got them in order here. Let's go to Luke 21:36. Luke 21:36. When I was in the rapture debate, someone stood up and they started reading from this verse, and I just finished quoting it for them because I'm very familiar with the verse. Luke 21:36. If you got it handy, here we go. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you might be accounted worthy to escape all these things, and to stand, that shall come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man. Now, here's the way the pre-tribbers want to understand that. And again, bless their heart, they misunderstand. They misunderstand not because they want to be lied to. Matter of fact, I heard something the other day that said it is more difficult to convince someone that they're being lied to than it is to lie to them. Maybe I missed the point out. Anyway. The pre-tribber says that they think, oh, well, this is saying that if you pray a whole lot, you can escape the tribulation. But the word that helps you to understand that verse is the word stand. And we misunderstand that because we don't understand what that word stand means. So let's read the verse again, and I'll show you what it means. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape all these things and to stand that'll come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Now, to get the understanding, go to Revelation 6:15. I won't wait for you to go there. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, by the way, when is this? This is during the Battle of Armageddon. In other words, this is Jesus' return. And they are seeing Jesus use the morning star, which is like a laser beam. That's the reason Scripture says, as lightning shineth even out of the east unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Because they're looking up into the sky, and they're seeing this flash. It doesn't look like lightning where it comes out like in several directions. It's like a slashing arrow, like a lightsaber. Okay? It's like, whoosh, and he kills 10,000. And here, 10,000. By the way, the morning star turns them to ashes. Malachi 4:5 says, they fall to the ground in a pile of ashes. There'll be ashes under the soles of our feet. Whereas the other two angels, maybe I should tell you about that, the other two angels that come with a sickle, I believe that sickle is not the morning star, and they cut people. And they cut people. That's the reason the blood flows up the horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs. And that's the reason Ezekiel 38:39 says it takes 7 months for the fowls of the earth to eat the dead people killed in that one battle. Ezekiel 38:39 talking about, again, the great harvest, the last day, the 10th day of the Feast of Trumpets. And then after the Feast of Trumpets, after the burning, then there's 5 days of atonement. That's when everything going back to Adam and everyone going back to Adam we all must stand for the judgment seat of Christ. That's when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. More on that in just a second if we have time. Again, I'm going to be putting all this in a book. So anyway, let's go out here. It said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and here it is. And who shall be able to stand? Meaning that when he is done, when Jesus is done using the morning star, there is only two groups of people. One are the wheat that had their name in the book of life. Everybody whose name is not written in the book of life is turned to ashes. They are judged. They are already judged. It destroys soul and body instantly, right there. The second group of people are the nations. And these are where it says, for without are dogs and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Those are the people that are allowed to enter into his rest. Those are the corners of the field where they do not harvest. Those are the people that are basically kind of like Mad Max. They're just wild, crazy, roving gangs murdering and raping and living off of drugs and dope and stuff like that. But they don't take the mark of the beast. But they also didn't receive Jesus either. So the kind in limbo, he allows them to live for 1,000 years. At the end of 1,000 years, Satan is loosed out of his prison. He goes out to, and he deceived the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them in the place of the, and goes out on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire from God out of heaven came down and devoured. Boom. That's what happens to the nations. I'm trying to cram a lot of stuff here. Anyway, so it's saying, watch ye therefore and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape the wrath, to escape the burning, and to be one of the few people left standing, you see. Now, you might be saying, well, that's one interpretation. You got another one? Yes, I do. Nahum 1:4. He rebuketh the sea, and maketh it dry, drieth up all the rivers. And all this is talking about Armageddon. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. And who can, here it is, who can stand before his indignation? Psalms 115 says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. In other words, if you are standing, if you are left standing after Jesus uses that morning star, you're in good shape. All right, now he asked me to cover 1 Thessalonians 4:16. So, yes, I will cover that. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. What trumpet is that? That is on the last day of trumpets. That is the great trump of God. However, it says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And that's exactly correct. But it did not say the dead in Christ rise first, and which we are alive and remain also die and ascend, and it all happens the same day. And this is complicated. It takes me a couple hours to explain this, which is why I'm putting it in a book. The dead in Christ rise on the last Pentecost at even, and then about 4 months later. Remember, the Bible says that there's 4 months and then the harvest. Well, the harvest they're talking about is the great harvest. That's when Jesus returns to, remember, wait, here, let me go back to those two angels. And I'm doing this from memory. There's two angels that come down with Jesus along with us. We're on our white horses with our wedding garments, with our crowns, and in our glorified bodies. We return for the great harvest. We do not do any fighting. Jesus does the fighting and two angels, and that is it. Only those three. So Jesus does the morning star, turns people to ashes, destroying both body and soul. The other two angels, and I looked and I saw, and lo, a white cloud. He that sat upon it was like unto the Son of Man. And on his head was a golden crown. Get my verses mixed up. It was a golden crown, and his hand was a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple and cried with a loud cry and said, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So the angel, which sat among the cloud, thrust in his sickle, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and him also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the altar having power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, and gather the clusters of the vine. Clusters, do you hear that? In other words, the vine, this is the grape harvest. Gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And he thrust in his sickle and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress. Again, the grape harvest. The great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. And blood came out of the winepress, even at the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now, the dead in Christ arose about 4 months before. They arise on Pentecost, the last Pentecost. Then we which are alive and remain, arise after the burning. See, all the scriptures have to fit. They all got to fit, or you got something wrong. The dead in Christ shall rise first. They do. They arise about 4 months before, because they went up to the marriage supper of the Lamb. They got their crowns, their horses, and their white robes. Blessed is he that had taken part in the first resurrection, and such the second death shall have no power. Why? Because they already know they got their name in the book of life. They already got their crown, the horses, their garments. But everybody, all the way back to Adam, has to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which is the great white throne. Now, let me talk about that. That's the greatest misunderstanding in Revelation. The average person thinks, because of one verse, they misunderstand, they think, well, at the end of the tribulation, God judges the sinners before the great white throne. Wrong. John 5:22, for the Father judges no man, has given all judgment unto the Son. Revelation 1, Jesus said, for I have the keys of hell and death. What does that mean when Jesus says he has keys of hell and death? That means Jesus decides who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. Jesus decides who lives and who dies. God does not do any judgment. The great white throne and the judgment seat both take place during the 5 days of atonement, and that is the day after Armageddon. 5 days of atonement. 5 days, everything is shown except what is covered by the wedding garment. Then after the dead in Christ, the living in Christ, after all I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things written in the books. And the city gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell gave up the dead, or delivered up the dead which were in them. And every man was judged according to the things written in the books, according to the works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now, that happens during a 5 day period. That happens in the Day of Atonement, or the Feast of Atonement. Then after the Day of the Feast of Atonement is those tabernacles. And that's when I, John, saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a voice out of heaven saying, the tabernacle of God is with me, and God shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I rejoice at the time, brothers and sisters, that we can all be there. The first day of tabernacles.
Amen.
Is when we, at even, is when we will get to see that new Jerusalem come down. And in that new Jerusalem, there is one throne that the Father and Son sat on. There is one street. There is one tree. And there is one river. And you and I will never hunger again, never thirst again. That is, if your name is written in the book of life, brothers and sisters. So if you have not asked Jesus into your heart, get after it. Here's what you do. You pop that Bible open. You lay your hand on the Bible. You lift your eyes to Christ. And you say, here it is. I'm a sinner. I'm going to make a covenant with you. From here on out, I'm going to read this book. I'm going to follow this book. And I'm going to follow your laws. I just ask you to forgive me. Give me another chance. Wash my sins away. Write my name in your book. And I'm yours from here on out. I won't back up. I won't slip. I won't fall. I won't backslide. I won't make a mistake. From here on out, I will do it right. And I will see you in heaven. Pastor Dan.
Amen. Wow. Okay, Stan. So, yeah, let's real quick clear up a couple things for the folks. You're writing a book. All this is going to be in the book, correct?
And more, yes.
Yeah, and much more.
Can I tell briefly about the book?
You got about a minute.
Okay, so here's the deal. I was shown a vision that the book of Torah links with Revelation. And it was shown that there's a door. It's called, and this is the name of the book, The Secret Door of Prophecy. And the feasts link back to something in Revelation. Now, here's the way I can explain this. It's like the Jews were given that, you know, you've seen those 1,000 crossword puzzle boxes. The Jews have the box with the picture on it. And the Christians have all the pieces of the puzzle. And the Christians are holding up all these prophecies, all these pieces of the puzzle, saying, oh, well, this looks like a pre-trib. Oh, this looks like mid-trib. Oh, where does this go? Okay. And they can't put the pieces of the puzzle together. And the Jews got the picture on the box. And they say, man, we know that this is a shadow. We know that this is a mikra. We know that this is a shadow of things to come. We know it's a rehearsal. But what's going on? What's going on? Well, this book is going to show the Jews the secret half-prophecy that God put in the feasts, and that's the reason they've been keeping them, to keep that prophecy alive, and then they're going to discover in this book that in Revelation. The other half of that prophecy is hidden in Revelation. And when you overlink both of those prophecies, it's going to help you to understand not only the order. That's the reason I can tell you almost exactly the dates, the times, and so many things that are going to happen. Like, I don't think he's ever shown this to anyone else.
But, well, amen. Stan, we're live radio. I got to cut you off. Folks,
okay.
prophecyhour.com. I really appreciate you being on with me, but I got less than a minute. So you be blessed, brother.
God bless you. Thank you for having me. Watch prophecyclub.com.
All right. Folks, we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. And he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church and radio. Lord our God, Father King Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.